بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate.
سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
All that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth extols Allah's glory. He is the most mighty, the most wise.
هو الذي أخرج الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب من ديارهم لأول الحشر ما ظننتم أن يخرجوا وظنوا أنهم مانعتهم حصونهم من الله فأتاهم الله من حيث لم يحتسبوا وقذف في قلوبهم الرعب يخربون بيوتهم بأيديهم وأيدي المؤمنين فاعتبروا يا أولي الأبصار.
He, it is who in the first assault drove forth the people of the book that disbelieved from their homes at the first gathering of forces. You did not believe that they would leave, while they too thought that their fortresses would defend them against Allah. Then Allah came upon them from whence they did not even imagine, casting such terror into their hearts that they destroyed their homes by their own hands, and their destruction was also caused by the hands of the believers. So learn a lesson from this, O you who have perceptive eyes. Drove forth the people of the book that disbelieved from their homes at the first gathering of forces. The people of the book that disbelieved refers to the Jewish clan, the Banu al-Nadir, who lived in the quarter of Medina. The Prophet, peace be upon him, had a treaty of alliance with them which they repeatedly violated. As a result, the Prophet, peace be upon him, eventually notified them in Rabi al-Awwal 4 after Hijri either to leave Medina or to fight. Initially, they declined to leave Medina. Thereupon, the Prophet, peace be upon him, amassed an army and launched an attack upon them. However, before any actual battle could commence, the Banu al-Nadir agreed to go into exile. They did so even though they had very strong fortresses to protect them. Their numbers were larger than the Muslims and they were well equipped militarily. Then Allah came upon them from whence they did not even imagine. The verse reads, "Then Allah came upon them from whence they did not even imagine." Obviously, this does not mean that God was previously elsewhere and that later on He launched an attack upon them from a specific location. What is said here is a figurative statement. It means that the Banu al-Nadir had thought that they would be able to use their fortresses to defend themselves when an attack came. But when the events unfolded, they were taken by surprise. The real attack under whose pressure they collapsed did not come from outside. Instead, they capitulated because they were left with no will to fight and their morale simply failed them. As a result, neither their army nor their fortresses availed them.
ولولا أن كتب الله عليهم الجلاء لعذبهم في الدنيا ولهم في الآخرة عذاب النار.
If Allah had not decreed banishment for them, He would certainly have chastised them in this world. As for the hereafter, the chastisement of the fire awaits them. He would certainly have chastised them in this world.
He would certainly have chastised them in this world means that God would simply have effaced them. Had they chosen to fight rather than surrender, they would have been totally wiped out.
ذلك بأنهم شاقوا الله ورسوله ومن يشاق الله فإن الله شديد العقاب.
That is because they set themselves against Allah and His Messenger. And whoever sets himself against Allah should know that Allah is surely most stern in retribution.
مَا قَطَعْتُم مِّن لِّينَةٍ أَوْ تَرَكْتُمُوهَا قَائِمَةً عَلَىٰ أُصُولِهَا فَبِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَلِيُخْزِيَ الْفَاسِقِينَ.
The palm trees that you cut down, or those that you left standing on their roots, it was by Allah's leave that you did so. Allah granted you this leave in order that He might humiliate the evildoers. It was by Allah's leave that you did so.
This alludes to the fact that at the very outset of laying siege on the Banu al-Nadir's hamlet, the Muslims cut down or burnt many of the palm trees that stood in the oasis around it. This was obviously done to facilitate the siege. However, the Muslims refrained from cutting down those trees which did not obstruct the movement of troops. Yet the hypocrites and Jews of Medina raised a storm of protest against this. They vociferously protested that the Prophet's conduct was self-contradictory. On the one hand, he condemned creating disorder in the world. Yet, on the other hand, lush green trees laden with fruit were being axed down at his behest. They asked, "If that is not spreading disorder in the world, what is?" It was in this context that this verse was revealed, stating that the believers' actions, cutting down some trees and letting others stand, could not be declared unlawful, for both acts enjoyed God's sanction.
Allah granted you this leave in order that He might humiliate the evildoers.
The purpose of the verse is to emphasize that both these acts, cutting down some trees and letting others stand, were meant to humiliate the evildoers. In the first instance, they were humiliated when the trees which they themselves had planted and which had been in their possession for a long time were cut down, and they could do nothing but helplessly watch it happen. In the second instance, they also suffered humiliation because, whilst leaving Medina, they could see their green orchards which they had owned until then were now in the hands of the Muslims. If they had had the power to do so, they would have laid all those orchards to waste so that not a single tree would pass to the Muslims. But the fact was that they were fleeing their hometown in utter helplessness. They could do no more than watch, in a state of sheer grief and desperation, their properties slip out of their hands.
وَمَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْهُمْ فَمَا أَوْجَفْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ خَيْلٍ وَلَا رِكَابٍ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُسَلِّطُ رُسُلَهُ عَلَىٰ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ
Whatever Allah has taken away from them and bestowed as spoils on His Messenger, for which you spurred neither horses nor camels, but Allah grants authority to His Messengers over whomsoever He pleases. Allah has power over everything.
Whatever Allah has taken away from them. Here, mention is being made of the lands and properties that came to be possessed by the Islamic State after Banu al-Nadir's exile. From the present verse onwards till verse 10, God lays down a set of directives as to how these properties should be managed.
And bestowed as spoils on His Messenger.
The word suggests that the earth and whatever is on it does not truly belong to God's rebels. The true position of the properties whose ownership passes on to the Muslims from the unbelievers as a result of a lawful and just war is that God, the true owner of those properties, withdrew them from His disobedient and rebellious servants and granted or restored them to His loyal and faithful servants. This is why, in Islamic parlance, such properties are called fay, restored properties.
Allah has power over everything.
The Muslims were able to take possession of these properties not because of their army's fighting prowess, but because of the overall strength that God had bestowed upon His Messenger and His community and the wholesome system that it had established. Therefore, the position of these properties was quite different from that of the spoils of war, and hence they could not be distributed among the soldiers. It is for this reason that the Islamic law makes a distinction between ghanima, spoils, and fay, restored properties. Ghanima consists of those transferable properties which are seized from the enemy in the course of actual fighting. All other transferable and non-transferable goods of the enemy are excluded from the definition of ghanima and are treated as fay.
مَا أَفَاءَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ فَلِلَّهِ وَلِلرَّسُولِ فللله وللرسول ولذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل كي لا يكون دولة بين الأغنياء منكم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا واتقوا الله إن الله شديد العقاب.
Whatever from the possessions of the townspeople Allah has bestowed on His Messenger belongs to Allah and to the Messenger and to His kinsfolk and to the orphans and to the needy and to the wayfarer, so that it may not merely circulate between the rich among you. So accept whatever the Messenger gives you and refrain from whatever he forbids you and fear Allah. Verily, Allah is most stern in retribution.
And to his kinsfolk. The kinsfolk of the Prophet, peace be upon him, signified the Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib. Their portion was laid down in order to enable the Prophet, peace be upon him, to use it to meet his own expenses and those of his immediate family, as well as to fulfill his obligations towards those of his relatives who stood in need or whom he himself wanted to help. After the Prophet's demise, however, the portion earmarked for his kinsfolk ceased to be a separate and independent apportionment. This because, like the rights of the rest of the orphans, wayfarers and needy, providing for the needy ones of the Banu Hashim and Banu al-Muttalib, became the responsibility of the public treasury. It was therefore recognized that the claims of the needy among the Prophet's kinsfolk had priority over others' claims,
so that it may not merely circulate between the rich among you.
This is one of the major guiding principles expounded by the Quran. This verse spells out a basic principle of the Islamic State's economic policy, viz., that wealth should circulate in the whole community rather than only among the rich. This in order to prevent the rich from getting richer and the poor poorer.
Verily, Allah is most stern in retribution.
Although this injunction was revealed in connection with the distribution of the properties of Banu al-Nadir, the terms in which it is couched are of a general character. The verse directs the Muslims to obey the Prophet, peace be upon him, in all matters. The purpose of the injunction becomes even clearer if we were to consider the words that are used here. So accept whatever the Messenger gives you and refrain from whatever he forbids you. It is significant that the words used in opposition to whatever the Messenger gives you are not whatever he does not give. Instead, the words are, and refrain from whatever he forbids you.
للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون.
It also belongs to the poor emigrants who have been driven out of their homes and their possessions, those who seek Allah's favor and good pleasure and help Allah and His Messenger. Such are the truthful ones.
والذين تبوأوا الدار والإيمان من قبلهم يحبون من هاجر إليهم ولا يجدون في صدورهم حاجة مما أوتوا ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة ومن يوق شح نفسه فأولئك هم المفلحون.
It also belongs to those who were already settled in this abode of Hijra, having come to faith before the arrival of the Muhajirun, emigrants. They love those who have migrated to them and do not covet what has been given them. They even prefer them above themselves, though poverty be their own lot. And whosoever are preserved from their own greed, such are the ones that will prosper. having come to faith before the arrival of the Muhajirun, emigrants.
The people meant by this expression are the Ansar. The purpose of this injunction was to drive home the fact that not only the Muhajirun, but also those Muslims who had been living in the abode of Islam, i.e. Medina, before the Hijra, were also entitled to a share in faith.
وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم.
And it also belongs to those who came after them and who pray, Lord, forgive us and our brethren who have preceded us in faith, and do not put in our hearts any rancor towards those who believe. Lord, you are the most tender, the most compassionate. And it also belongs to those who came after them.
A share in faith was not only meant for the present generation, for the future generations also had a claim on it.
Lord, you are the most tender, the most compassionate.
Through this verse, the Muslims were provided with an important moral directive, that they should nurse no feelings of spite and rancor in their hearts towards other Muslims, and that they should pray for the forgiveness of other Muslims rather than lavish curses and abuse upon them.